Take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 95. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Thank you again, young people, for these beautiful songs. And I am so thankful for Christian education, thankful for the students and their hearts tonight as they have given these messages. Psalm 95 is our text tonight, and I want to share with you some truths about Thanksgiving from the Word of God, and thank the Lord tonight that we have a Bible that is reliable, that it is our authority, that is our guide. And so for some, this is a holiday that's just kind of something on the calendar. But for those of us who have a manner of life that we've been preaching about on Sunday night, thou hast fully known the first word is my doctrine. And Thanksgiving is truly a Christian doctrine. And it's a part of our faith. And we want this to be something that is not just a day off, but we want this to be something that is, by conviction, a time to really remember our Creator. So let's do that as we read Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Father, bless these few moments in your word. Give us a mind and a heart to hear. And then, Lord, may we leave this place with thanksgiving in our hearts and upon our lips, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I don't know if you'll have some special meal prepared in your home this week, or if you'll go out somewhere and maybe eat someone else's preparation, or maybe even go to a restaurant somewhere. But I love the story of one dear lady. Her name was Helen. She struggled with cooking, and so for many years, her husband decided the best thing for the family would be just to go out and eat, and that's what they did for many, many years. And yet, after a number of years, they decided, you know what, we're going to eat at home this year for Thanksgiving. And so Helen came in to her family as they gathered around the table, and she said, now I have cooked this turkey for the first time, and I'm about ready to bring it to the table. If it's not good, don't say a word. If it's not good, there will be no negative comments. We'll just go to a restaurant and have our meal. She went into the kitchen. She came out with her turkey. As she came into the dining room, her husband and her son were seated there with their coats and their hats on, ready to go. I hope it goes a little better than that for you this week. And I know in our home, I'm blessed and looking forward to the meal that my wife prepares for our family. Thanksgiving, it's so much more than a meal. It's a doctrine. And God has called us all to live with a gratitude attitude. I remember years ago, an early mentor in my life saying to me, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. Indeed, some of the greatest difficulties in marriages come when there is an unmet expectation, something that we came into the relationship expecting, it didn't happen, and so now we're counseling because disappointment and bitterness have set in. And throughout our lives, we tend to build up these expectations, and then when something doesn't go our way, disappointment, depression comes, and an unthankful spirit is seen. Well, the foundation of real gratitude is really the expectation of nothing. By the way, how many of you would agree with me that all we really deserve, according to the Bible, is separation from God for all of eternity. The wages of sin is death. How many of you would agree with me that we are blessed by the salvation we have in Jesus Christ? And we ought to be thankful for that. But the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. In fact, God says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, all of us in life are blessed today to live in America, but we must always remember that godliness with contentment is great gain. And Thanksgiving is a time for us to just step back and say, Lord, if you never gave me anything else, I'm so blessed and so thankful for what you've done. I'm content with what you have done. In fact, the Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. A few hours ago, I was in a hospital with one of our members, Brother John Tanner, who grew up in our school here and graduated from Lancaster Baptist School, and he and his wife met at West Coast, and just beginning a tremendous career as a highway patrol officer. And suddenly, a few weeks back, he just began to have trouble really walking. His dad and mom are here tonight, and they said, pray for John. And the symptoms were some numbness, and they weren't sure if it was from his belt and his equipment or what was going on. And they did MRIs and began to do all these tests to try to find out. And they said, it looks like it could be MS. And thankfully, it appears that it's a form of MS that's actually treatable and going through a lot of steroid treatment over there at Palmdale Hospital tonight and so forth. But the thing that just amazed me about visiting this young couple was to hear them thank and praise the Lord for the entire 20 minutes to 30 minutes that I stood in that hospital room. He said, you know, I'm just thankful that I'm able to get up and use the walker. I'm thankful that I'm able to feel a little bit more in my body. I'm so thankful that this nurse said this and this doctor and thankful for my wife making this call and thankful for our church for visiting. And throughout the visit, as we were there to kind of encourage a young couple, they were giving thanks to God for the way He's working in their life. And so Spurgeon was right. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. And so often I'm convicted by people going through a hard time, going through times of difficulty, who still praise the Lord, and they still give thanks to the Lord. And I hope you'll pray for John and for his healing. But here in this passage, the Bible gives us a few admonitions, and before we go home, I want to share them with you briefly. I want you to first of all hear the announcement that is made to God's people. The announcement is given in verse number 1. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. There was this announcement to everyone to come and rejoice. And notice specifically why they rejoiced. They rejoiced in the Lord, the rock of their salvation. Now, I pray tonight that you're not trusting in a church for your salvation. And I hope you're not trusting in yourself, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. None of us can get ourselves into heaven. That's why God sent His Son, who is our Savior, because all of us need to be saved from our sinful nature. And Jesus came to be our Savior. And so the psalmist said, let's just all come together and rejoice in Jesus, our Lord, the rock of our salvation. You see, nobody should have more praise in life than a saved man or a saved woman. Psalm 107 and verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Listen to that phrase. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, to be redeemed means that you have been bought with a price. and you have been redeemed. How have we been redeemed? By the blood of Jesus. The price was the blood that he shed. It covers our sins. So those of us who have covered sins and are on our way to heaven, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you are one of the redeemed of the Lord, I want you to say amen tonight. Right? Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what? Don't ever get tired of saying it either. Your kids need to hear it. Your friends need to hear it. Your grandkids need to hear that you're thankful that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, it's a bad moment for an atheist when he feels grateful and has no one to thank. But it's a great moment for a Christian because we know who to thank. Our Redeemer, our Lord, he has provided for us. And never get over that provision of salvation. But also, I see here that they were rejoicing not only in the provision of salvation, but in the very presence of God. And I want you to see this real quickly, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. How many of you are thankful that when we come to church, we're gathered here together, we're not just in the presence of one another, we are in the presence of God tonight. And God says, I want you to come into my presence. And in fact, he says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in our time of need. God says, come on in. I want you to have time with me. I don't know how you are, but I'm telling you what, if a member of my family is knocking on the door and I've got something going on in my office, I told our staff 30 years ago, hey, let my family come in. I want to make sure that I meet their needs. I was meeting with our mayor today, in fact, and we were talking about some different things and just having some fellowship, and the phone rang, and it was one of my children, and I just said, hey, excuse me, but one of my kids is calling here right now. I mean, you're okay, but they're the top priority, right? And you know what? That's what God says to you. God says you are my top priority. God says, I want you to enter in. I want you to come in to my presence. And God says, I want you to come in and I want you to worship and I want you to freely have my your presence and my presence together. I want you to come in freely. Notice what it says in John 15 in your notes, verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. How many of you are glad that God calls you a friend? How many of you would say that's a lot better than God calling you an enemy, right? As in Sodom and Gomorrah, as in hellfire and brimstone. I'm thankful that because of Jesus, we have a friend. And I'm thankful that we can have a relationship and just come into the presence of God. And it's not something to fear. It's something to enjoy. So we're to rejoice in God's salvation. We're to rejoice, secondly, in God's strength. Look at verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of his hills is his also. We serve a God that is sovereign. He is the Lord. He is the King. Sometimes we say about Jesus, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And so when we come before him, we come realizing who he is. Revelation 19:16. He is sovereign God. He is sustainer God. Verse 4. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. He holds it all together. I love Colossians 1 and verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, he holds it all together. Now, we try to hold things together, and yet the fact of the matter is we just can't. I don't care if you're the best control freak in the whole church and the greatest multitasker in the whole church, there's just days when you can't keep all the plates twirling around there. Can I get an amen to that? But when you come to the end of yourself and you realize, I can't hold this all together, then you begin to realize, you know what? There is somebody that has it all together. and it's the Lord. And He has the strength to hold our life together. He's our sovereign. He's our sustainer. In fact, He's the source of all life, Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And that's why we give Him thanks, because every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above. So there's an announcement to God's people. Come into His presence with rejoicing and with thanksgiving. But notice, secondly, the adoration of God's people. Once we get here, once we get into His presence in our homes this Thursday, and I do hope that before you have that meal, you take some time in testimonies and prayer, and that you just come into the presence of God and you give Him thanks. And once you get to that place, what do you do? Verse 6, notice, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Now, here we see that He is our God. He is our God. You know, I know a lot of people that have a church, but they don't really know the Lord. And the Bible says here that He is our God. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, sometimes we see the problems. We have the health problems. We see all of the people on the television yelling and screaming and telling us about all of the bad news. But isn't it good to know that we serve a God who is still in control and who has all power? He's our God. But notice also in verse 7, it says this, we are the people of His pasture. You know, I find comfort in the fact that I'm one of the children of God. Amen. I want you to think about that. I'm one of the children of God. Parents, how many of you parents had a child singing up here tonight? Let me see where you are, all right? I knew that's why some of you are on the front row. I thought it was the love of preaching, but now I know it had something to do with grandkids, and that's okay too. But can I just tell you something? Every one of you who lifted your hands, and how about the grandparents? Any grandparents have kids singing up here? Where are you guys at, all right? You look up here and you see them and you think to yourself, there's nothing I wouldn't do for them. Just whatever I could do for them, because they are my children. That's my grandson. That's my granddaughter. And whatever I could do to help them, and if they're ever in need, and if they're ever sick, and if they ever need help, whatever it is, staying in school, whatever it is, I want to help them. And if that's how we feel, how much greater is the love of God? And we are His children. God loves you. In fact, God is crazy about you. In fact, God sent His only Son to die for you. He loves us with such a great love. We are His people. And that's what I want to say to the child who is here tonight without a father or without a mother. And that's what I want to say to the child that maybe feels like I don't have what the other kids have. And that's what I want to say to the child that sometimes might feel like, well, I didn't make the basketball team or whatever. I want to say to you, you are the child of God, and He is crazy about you, and He loves you, and He wants to meet your every need. We are His people. That is an awesome thing. I don't know about you all, but from time to time when I've traveled, especially if I go to another country, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I pull out that U.S. passport and put it down, I'm always proud to be an American. I just enjoy it. I'm thankful for my country. And so I just am always glad to say I'm from the United States of America. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, but greater than that, I'm glad to say I'm a child of the living God. My citizenship is in heaven. I have a mansion being prepared for me right now. And Jesus Christ is my Savior. And as much as we find great satisfaction being patriotic Americans, we should have greater satisfaction saying that we are His people and He is our God. And what a great thrill it is. And so He is our God. We are His people. This is why we come together. We come together to adore Him for who He is. Then notice finally, there is an admonition that is given. We hear the announcement, come and worship. We see the adoration. We're in His presence. But notice this admonition, verse 7, the second part of the verse. Notice what it says. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Now, earlier today, I was out at Edwards Air Force Base, and I had the privilege of participating in Brother Jack Geddes' retirement ceremony there. And I got to tell you something. I don't know. I think Jack's in here somewhere. But, you know, I cannot tell you what a blessing it is as a pastor to hear someone stand up that's been in the church for 3 decades and in front of all of his co-workers just say, first and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I wouldn't have made it for 34 years of service to my country without the grace of God. I can't tell you how good it is to hear a man thank his wife. I can't tell you how good it is for me to hear a man say, I just want to say thank you to my Lord, to my church, to my pastor. I'm going to tell you something. When someone stands and when someone gives from their heart that testimony, it tells me something. It tells me that for 30 years, the man wasn't just doing church. He was listening to the preaching. In fact, he testified to the fact that the ministry and the preaching has helped him through the years just to keep going and to keep going. And I'm going to tell you, listen, dads, I don't care how much you love your kids. You get a hard heart. You get a hard heart toward God. You think, I don't need that preaching. I can do it my way like Frank Sinatra. And you start trying to do it your own way. I'm going to tell you something. You will not raise a godly family. And you will not be in church down the road. And we must keep an open and a tender heart to God. And this is what the psalmist says today. Now notice this in verse 7. He says very clearly, if you will hear his voice, harden. Look at verse 8. Harden not your heart. Let's say that together. Harden. Say it a little louder. You see, there's two kinds of people going to sit at Thanksgiving table this week. Those with a tender heart who just say, wow, Lord, thank you. You got us through this year. Thank you. You kept us employed. You got us through all these tough times. Thank you. And then there's going to be some people thinking nothing about God at all. They're just going to be saying, pass the gravy. The potatoes are cold. You know, when's the next game on the television? God says, don't harden your heart. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. What is that? That's talking about the children of Israel as they journeyed around for 40 years and they had a hardened heart and they wasted their whole generation because of their unbelief. For 40 years, the Israelites wandered around. And yet, God is saying to us, don't enter this week with that hard heart. I heard of a little boy that was asked to pray for dinner. Before he bowed his head to pray, he looked at the dish. He closed his eyes. He said, Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I'll thank you for it anyways. Look, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's a blessing from the Lord. Don't harden your heart. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it. And so I see tonight in the passage before us, God's announcement. Here it is. Everybody come together, let's sing with thanksgiving unto the Lord. And I see as we get together that there's an adoration. He is our God. We are His people. He's great. And yet He invites us in and He loves us. And then there's an admonition. Don't come to church and close your heart. Don't come to Thanksgiving and close your heart. Don't harden your heart. But keep a tender heart. Keep a tender heart. Many times when I pray for the men of this church, that's how I pray. Lord, help him to keep a tender heart. Help me to keep a tender heart. Too many Christians get gruff, and too many Christians get hard, and they begin to complain, and they begin to think it's better this way or that way. And before you know it, they're not hearing. They're not growing. God says, harden not your heart. And I want to say this tonight as we close. There's a wonderful verse that cannot be quoted enough in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 9:15, and this is what it says. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I mean, how do you describe it? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Jesus Christ. He is the eternal God. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the word there, Elohim, speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The eternal God came down to this earth, took the form of a man, and died on the cross for our sin. And God says, by the way, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. There is no way that we could ever thank Him enough for what He did. The gift? It's salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. Now, my wife is way ahead this year in getting ready for the holidays. It's kind of been amazing. I'm loving every minute of it. She already has the tree up, already has the lights on the tree. She's already watched 2 Hallmark movies. And I'm going to tell you something about Hallmark movies. They all, to me, sort of seem the same, but that's another thing. All right, I'm just going to tell you that right now. And the other thing is, honestly, we need to take an offering so that they can have real snow in Hallmark movies. Do they think we cannot tell the difference between cotton and snow? Can I get an amen on that right there? It's just kind of, just saying. I mean, I love these movies, but I'm just saying, they're wholesome, they're family friendly. I haven't seen any bad stuff or heard bad words, so I'm thankful for all of that. I'm just like, come on, let's have some real snow in some of these movies. But Terry's, I mean, she's getting the old household ready, and you know, and last night a couple of the grandkids were over, and of course she's already got a couple presents under the tree. And for years, she never puts names on presents, ever. She puts names of reindeer on presents is what she puts on there. So it never says, you know, this is for, you know, Matt or Larry or whoever. It always says, you know, Rudolph and Dasher, and you know, and then you have to guess, all right, what am I? Rudolph, Dasher, you just never know. And so the grandkids last night, they're like, Papa, which one is mine? Which one is mine? And I had no idea. I just kind of tried to fake it. And they were holding the box, trying to shake it. She said, that's not theirs anyways. And they're so curious about that gift. But I want to tell you something. As much as we purchase a gift and wrap a gift, and as much as we express love through gifts, God expressed His love to us through what He calls an unspeakable gift. It's so great, you can't even describe it. And if you're sitting in this room right now and you have never received that gift, you'll never comprehend the great opportunity for thanksgiving that's right in front of you. Because you're still giving yourself credit, you're giving a church credit, you're giving your grandpa credit. But when you get saved, you'll know who gets the credit. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. Because the gift is all about Jesus. It's Jesus that gives us the gift. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Some of you new Christians, you say, I don't know what to say before Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not a preacher. All right, just say that. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And give Him thanks for what He's done. And if you're here tonight and you've never received that gift, I want to encourage you tonight to humbly bow your head like the children in the play and just say to the Lord, Lord, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I fall short. And I ask You, Lord, to come into my life, forgive my sin, redeem my soul, and give me a home in heaven. And God says, if you'll call upon Him, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. You can receive the gift. And you can give thanks this Thanksgiving like you've never given it before because of what God does for you.